Come on, if he's the risen king, you can do better than that. Let's lift up his name. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here. Amen. If you could just stand a little longer with me. I don't know how to present this, but I'm just going to try. I really feel that the Lord wants me to speak what I'm about to speak. And if it hits you, it hits you. If it doesn't, eat the meat and leave the bones. Don't choke. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And the title of this message is, Where is the Fear? Where is the fear? If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we ask you right now, Lord, to speak through me. Let these words find good soil. Lord, let it be not my words, but your words. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this service. Anoint, hallelujah, these words. Let your spirit minister, Lord God. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, Where is the fear? Amen. Now, you know, that doesn't sound like a great title for a message. And we're so used to hearing about God's love and God's grace and how loving he is. But you will find if you study scripture that there is a lot about fearing God too. You know, today people are afraid of a lot of things. Losing a job, the violence, guns, sickness, cancer. But the most important fear that people have lost is the fear of the Lord. Let me say it again. The thing that people have lost is the fear of the Lord. Because the Bible tells us that it is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, the Bible is saying, if you don't fear God, you're a fool. You see, we so much hear about God's love and God's grace. And yes, God is loving and God is graceful. But I want to tell you today, there is also God's justice, God's judgment, God's wrath. And the Bible speaks that we should have a fear of the Lord. We should not fear man, but there is somebody we ought to fear. Amen? And that is the fear of the Lord. See, while God's grace and love is real, so is God's judgment and wrath. So if you won't serve him through love, you better serve him through fear. You know God gave us that emotion? Fear is an important emotion. It's a very important emotion because if you are not afraid of some things, you know what will happen? You'll get hurt. Because fear is there to warn us that this thing is dangerous. The stove is hot. We are afraid of going too close. So today I'm asking you, where is the fear? Because there's something missing in a lot of people's lives. They treat God as if that's all there is to is his grace and his love. And they don't have a reverence or fear for God. See, there is more than one side to God. See, if you won't serve him out of love, then you better start serving him out of fear. Yes, hell is real. There is such a place. There is a place of torment. There is a time of judgment. And I'm telling you that if we don't start to do the right things, if we don't, and I'm speaking to myself, we need to have a fear of God. Let me tell you some things that we should have a fear of. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, Paul lays it out. And I'm speaking to myself because this message came to me while I was at conference, while the preacher was speaking. And, you know, it came to me this, a lot of things I'm not doing. I'm not afraid of God enough. I don't give him enough reverence. Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So that's in the Bible too. Let me tell you, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 is in the Bible too. Where is the fear? I know you're going to get quiet on me, but this is from God. Where is the fear? Where is the reverence that we need to give to God and his temple and his service and his words and his commandments? God is a God of love. Yes, God is a God of grace, but he is also a God of judgment. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We can say all we want, we love God, but he says, I'm looking at what you do, not what you say. We can come down to the front and shout all we want and tomorrow go and live like the devil. Where is the fear? Let me tell you, the judgment of God is about to fall on this planet. You think that the hurricanes you've seen is anything? The Bible says that there's going to be wars and famines in diverse places, earthquakes, men's hearts failing them for fear. And that's just the beginning of sorrows. Sometimes we forget that there is a judgment. The Bible says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many people go down that path. Narrow is the way. That means it's tight. You got to force yourself. You got to press yourself. You got to have a determination that I'm going to do right. I'm going to follow what the Bible says. I'm going to obey his word. Some of us don't have enough fear of God. Some of us think that it's just okay to come on Sundays and worship. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Where is the fear? The problem is, those of you who have been coming, you know the judgment for us, and I say us, is going to be worse because we know what God demands. We can't pretend that we didn't know. We come to church every Sunday. We raise our hands and we say, I love you, God. You know what he's saying to us? Then obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. Don't think we can behave any way we want. And God does not see. Don't think you're going to get away with anything. Where is your fear? Because he's a just God. And he's going to clean up this planet. Isaiah 61 verse 1. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, after he had been baptized by John the Baptist, he went back to his hometown. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And they handed him the scroll of the book of Isaiah. And he started to read. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. That's what we always want to hear, is the good tidings. Unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Yes, that's what Jesus came to do, to set at liberty if you're bound, to open your prison if you're being captive. But you know what? He stopped right in the middle of the sentence, because there's coming a day when this next verse is going to be fulfilled. He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is where Jesus stopped. He stopped right here. The year of the Lord. Because the very next words say, and the day of vengeance of our God. I'm telling you, God is coming back to take vengeance on those who know what to do, but don't do it. I'm telling you, where is the fear? The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But people have forgotten that God is a God of judgment. I've lived long enough to see God take people out. Some of you have not, but I have seen God take people out where it was very clear to me why they are no longer living and walking about. God took them out. He will do it. I'm trying to tell you that fear of the Lord is a good thing. It's all right to be loving and gracious, but there is a fear of the Lord that the Bible teaches us that I think we need to get back to. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the saddest chapter in the whole Bible. This story is about King Saul, who was given blessing, chosen by God. elevated to be king, blessed, put over all of Israel, given everything he wanted. But somehow he became arrogant. He became proud. He became full of himself. He decided he didn't have to fear anyone because he was king. See, this is what disobedient thinking can happen to all of us. Because this message is to me. God is dealing with me. The saddest chapter in the Bible is this. 1 Samuel 15:23. Samuel starts to tell him, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Think about it. When God is finished with you, which court can you go to? When God's court says, "It's over, I'm done with you," where are you going to go? It's time for us to get a fear of the Lord. He is coming back, and he is coming back this time, not to open the prison, but he's coming back to declare the day of vengeance of our God, to take vengeance on those who are disobedient, those who claim they love him, who speak with their lips, but they said, "Their heart is far from me." Now, this is not a message I normally preach. So you can understand that God's making me preach this. I want this church to have a fear of the Lord. My father used to tell me when he was growing up in church, "You didn't do stuff out there and come to church." Because someone would reveal it. Someone would speak it. You dare not go out there and do something and come in church. It would be revealed. He would tell me stories all the time. This lady was working for this lady, and she broke her very expensive dish, and she hid it. She come to church, someone got up and just started to tell her exactly what she did, told her where she hid it and everything. We need the fivefold gift of the Spirit working so that there is a fear of God. Samuel said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. "Well, all I did was give the sacrifice." No, you disobeyed God. You thought you were big enough and bad enough and bold enough to do your own thing. Where is the fear? Verse 35 of 1 Samuel 15. "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death." Even Samuel was trying to mourn and intercede for God, said, "I'm finished with him." Imagine when God says he's finished with you. What are you going to do when God says he's finished with you? Where are you going to turn to then? You see, the Bible says while it is day, we can come and we can walk in the light. But it says there's coming a time when there won't be time to walk in the light. It's time to get a fear of God. See, Saul tried to repent. He tried to say, "Well, I'm sorry. I made a mistake." You know, God will only accept that for so many times. There's coming a time when your 449 times is up. Your 70 times 7 is up. There's going to be a lot of repenting after the rapture. Churches are going to be full the day after the rapture. Oh yes, there's going to be, the pews will be full of people. But it'll be too late. I want to have a fear of the Lord now. I want to repent today. I want the Lord to be able to look at me and say, "Search me, O Lord, and look at my heart." I want to bring him a broken and a contrite heart. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be smart, you start to fear God. Don't fear man. Don't fear losing your job. Don't fear your circumstance. Don't fear sickness. Don't fear cancer. But you fear God. You fear God. Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord, to hate evil, is to hate evil and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." That's what God says. That's what God says. You will find the word fear in the New Testament as much times as you find the word love. Where is our fear? People think that they can do anything and God will forgive them. And he is a merciful and gracious God. I'm the prime example of that. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. He killed people. I haven't known that I've killed anyone, but maybe I have in my little puny brain. But God is merciful when we truly repent, when we truly seek him with our true heart. But when we do fake stuff, he's not impressed. Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and evil way." The difference between David and Saul is David humbled himself. When he was confronted with his sin, he said, "Give me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me." He didn't say, "I'm the king. You made me the king. I can do anything I want." No. But his heart was lifted up. Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. Let me show you what God thinks about people who misabuse his gifts. Nebuchadnezzar had taken all the treasures from the temple, but he was smart enough not to mess with them. He had put them up in his storehouse. He didn't mess with them. But along comes his grandson, Nabonidus, and he thinks, I'm going to throw myself a party. I'm going to take out all the gold and silver things that belong to the God Jehovah of Israel. Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne. You see, this is what happened to his grandfather. The book says that he knew about this. Nabonidus knew what happened to his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar when he got full of pride. How God had humbled him. How God had taken away his sanity, made him go around like an animal. Nabonidus knew that God had done this, yet he had no fear. Where is the fear? But when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass. Nabonidus knew what had happened to his grandfather. I'm just going to jump down to verse 22. But thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Thou knewest all of this. You think God brings judgment without warning? No. No. He knew what had happened. He knew what had happened to his grandfather. I know it says his son, but it's his grandfather. Hast thou not humbled thine heart? Thou knewest all of this. This is what Daniel is telling him. You know what happened? He started to party, and then there came some handwriting. God will always give you a warning. But a lot of us are so, as Jamaicans would say, hard-eared. It means we don't listen. We fight God. We say, oh, that's nothing. But God will give you a warning. He'll put some handwriting on the wall. Where is our fear? He knew what had happened to his grandfather. Yet he had no fear of using God's instruments and having himself a party. I tell you, that night he had some fear. The Bible said he quaked. His loins loosed, if you understand what I mean. Because he saw something supernatural. The hand of God. Pronouncing judgment. You know, it's my job as the pastor of this church. God is going to hold me accountable for your souls. If I do not preach the truth, if I do not warn you of judgment, if I don't say, where is your fear? I don't want to stand before God and say, well, God, I preach love and grace. That's all I preached. He'll ask me, don't you know that I'm a hard master? That's what he told the guy who hid the talents. You knew all of this. I'm telling you today, we need to get some godly fear. We need to have some repentance. We need to get on our knees. We need to cry out to God because he said, I'm going to come and I'll remove your candle. He told the Laodicean church, listen, unless ye repent, you keep being lukewarm and hot and cold in church here and gone the next day. I'm not having it, is what God said. I will spew you out of my mouth. Where is our fear? Jesus, when he came, he said, I did not come to judge. When he came, he did not come to judge. He let people do all kinds of things. But there is coming a judge. There is coming a judge. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Yeah, Jesus said, when I came this time, I'm here to preach repentance. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to seek God. But I'm telling you, when I come back the next time, it's the day of vengeance. That's what it says in Isaiah 61, the day of vengeance of our God. Don't you understand there's coming a time on the earth such as never was since the creation of man? Do you understand what it will be like to be here after the rapture? Do you understand what hell is like? Do you understand what torment is like? You think you're going through anything yet? Where is your fear? God has warned us. The handwriting is already on the wall. It said, mine, mine, tekel upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. I don't want God to find me wanting. I have enough of my own issues that I need to repent and take to him. Because this message is to me. and to you. The message is in Revelation. It said, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. The angel, the word there, angel, meant messenger. It was speaking about the pastor. The message came to the pastor, and he was supposed to tell the church. So I'm telling the church. God says, where is your fear? Don't you know I'm a holy and righteous God, the judge of the whole earth? You know, Bill Cosby used to say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Well, God can truly say he brought you into this world and he can take you out. This is a message about repentance. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. We see that in John's vision in Revelation, he sees one sitting on a white horse. And you know what his name is? He's got a sword, and his name is the Word of God, because he's coming to take vengeance on the earth. I'm telling you, there's not enough of hell and torment being preached. Well, I'm preaching it today, that we need to have a godly fear, that if we will not obey through love, then we better obey through the fear and reverence of God, because there is vengeance coming upon this earth. God is coming back to take judgment on the ungodly, on the unrighteous, on those who hate the truth. He's done it before, and he can do it again. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every thought of his heart was evil continually. And it repented God. What a sad statement. 5 times in the Bible it says God repented. It means he's changed his mind. One of those times was with Saul. He changed his mind. When God changes his mind about you, you're in big trouble. If God ever changes his mind and withdraws his face, the Bible says if he were to withdraw his breath, we would all turn back to dust. It said it repented God that he had made man upon the earth. It grieved him to his heart. Do you know you can hurt God? The Bible says that grieve not the Holy Spirit. We can grieve, we can make God hurt by our actions, by our carelessness, by our thoughtlessness, by our disobedience. I'm asking you today, where is your fear? Do you fear God? Because the Bible says you ought to. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of serving God. And God saw the wickedness was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. See, even those of us who think we're doing good, we're so full of our own satisfaction. You know, we all say, but I got problems too. And we're so full of all our problems. Most of us, if we're honest, that's what we're thinking about now, all the problems we got. Shall I tell you what that really is? It's the same as Cain bringing an offering that's not the best. Let me just be, because you're here, but you're not really brought all of you. You've just brought some of you. See, we've not brought God today our best. Now, if that's not you, ignore it. But if you're like the disciples, you'll say, is that I? If that's not you, if that don't hit you, let it go by. Let it go to the person behind you. Maybe it's them. We wonder why our prayers are not answered. Well, God, I brought you half of me today. My other half was out there thinking about next week. But please, God, answer this shopping list I got for you right here. I got all these things I want you to answer. But I brought you second best. Do you understand that that was not allowed in the Old Testament? The priest would look at your offering, and if he found one little thing wrong with it, take it away. That was not allowed. You couldn't bring God secondhand stuff with blemishes. Yet we come today thinking we're okay because I'm here. I'm not like the person who's not coming to church. You're giving a Cain offering. Where is our fear? See, God, here's what God wants. He wants the best of our prayers. He wants the best of our time, the best of our witnessing, the best of our thinking. He wants all the best. You can't give him second and then expect him to give you his best. Bible says he's a jealous God. Hebrews 10:30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge, not the sinners, not the people out there. What does it say? His people. His people. The Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, we are idol worshipers. You may say, I don't have nothing stuck up in my house. I got no idols. But you've got some stuff you've put before God that's more important to you. He's not the first thing that's on your mind. Because the first thing is on our minds is our problems, is what I, me and myself need. It's all about me. We are talent buriers. God has given us gifts, and all we do is bury them because we don't want to lose it. And we tell God, and this is for me, we can't do it. I'm confessing. This week when I was at during the service, I was saying to God, I can't do this. It's too much, God. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with this. I don't take it away. I don't want this cup. But God said, where is your fear? I've blessed you. I've given you everything you've ever asked for. I've opened every door that was ever shut. What is it you need more? You know, that's what God told David when he sinned. Look, I've given you every woman you ever wanted. Why did you go take that one? I've made you king. I've given you riches. What is it you want? Why do you keep doing this stuff? God was speaking to me because I was telling him, I can't do this. My wife doesn't know that, but she knew I was very silent during the week because God was speaking to me. And he's saying to you, where is our fear? Vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. You don't go beating someone else's children, do you? You get in trouble. God is going to chastise us if we are his children, if we will submit, because the Bible says that shows he loves us. I want him to love me, so I'm going to submit when he tells me I'm wrong. I'm going to humble myself and say, Lord, help me to change. Help me to find you. Help me to find a place of mercy. Help my heart to be broken and contrite. Now, God knows that you have to live. You have to work. You have to do stuff. That's not what he's talking about when he wants the best. But sometimes I think we give him lame excuses for not giving him our best. Let me give you some wisdom that Solomon found out. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. Even if you're poor, God is saying it's better to have his fear and reverence than great treasure and trouble. Because you know wealth brings trouble. Because you're always worried about losing it. Bible is saying that it's better to fear the Lord than to even be rich. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. If you want to be honored, you be humble. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If you ran a reference on the fear, you'll see how much God is invested in you understanding that we need to fear him. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I told you, fear is a good thing. God gave us that emotion to protect us. Fear in the proper usage is not a bad thing. It's a warning sign. It's to tell you there's danger there. Stay away from that. A person who doesn't have fear isn't going to live in the land of the living very long. Because if they have no fear, you know, think that's a good thing. That's not a good thing. They say the man who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. But the man who is in battle slain will never live to fight again. Sometimes you have to know when it's time to get out of there. Sometimes you have to know when, okay, this is not the place I should be. I need to be out of here. Where is our fear? 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped, he's speaking about church people, the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. He's speaking about after we have escaped the pollutions of this world, we should go back. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. We have to fear God. There is a line you can cross. There is a sin you can commit that can't be forgiven. The Bible tells us that. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible. Let's say it together. Impossible? Impossible. This is God speaking through the writer of Hebrews, saying it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God. This is a sad verse. To be once again renewed. Because you know what it goes on to say? Because they have crucified Christ afresh. I want to be afraid of going anywhere near that. I want a godly fear of staying way away from crucifying God again, because that sin is not forgivable. If you didn't know that, now you do. There is a sin unto death that is not forgivable. If you don't understand it, come and ask me afterwards. Where is our fear? Where is our fear? What are we going to do this week? Are we going to seek God and say, Lord, I need to come closer to you? Let me show you that fear is not a bad thing. In the early church, it was associated actually with miracles. When people reverenced God, when people were afraid of God, God did miracles. Acts chapter 5, verse 4. We see the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who came pretending that they were giving their best. Oh yeah, we did like everybody else. This is everything we had. This is a danger in pretending to give your best to God while you know you're not giving your best. Acts chapter 5. And Peter says, listen, nobody forced you to do that. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it still not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. See, when we lie to the Holy Spirit, we're crossing a line. I'm sorry this is not a shouting service, but this is what God wants you to hear. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all those that heard these things. You see, you think that's a bad thing, but you see, God uses that to do signs and wonders. So here comes his wife, and she repeats the whole thing. Acts chapter, same chapter 5, verse 10. So she repeats the same lie. Yes, we bring in you all. God, I've really slaved all week. I'm here. I brought you all of me. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Verse 11, what happened? And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Then, next verse, see what happens? And at the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done. When the church started to fear and get themselves together, that enabled the power of God to be manifest. Now, you think that's just one time that I'm telling you that, but it's in there more than once. You go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. And when the fear came upon every soul, what happened? Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So when fear is used properly in the church, it actually empowers miracles. Because people come knowing that they got to give their best, their all. They're ready for God to actually use them. Where is the fear? Where is the reverence? Where is our love? See, we don't have to serve him out of fear if we truly love. Those of you who were in love, you did everything. You were on the phone for hours talking what? Nonsense. Don't even know what you were talking. Just wanted to be in the company of that person for hours. What did you guys do? Nothing. Do we have that attitude to God? Do you want to be in his presence doing nothing? If you could stand with me. Where is the fear? I could go on and on and on because you'd find in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, that God thinks fear is a good thing when it's applied to him. Now, the Scripture I read at the beginning, it said, don't fear man. Yes, man can kill your body, but that's not the one to truly fear. Because it says, after that, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. He repeats it. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Sometimes God wants us to hear some correction. Sometimes God wants us to hear not love and grace, but you better get your act together. And I'm just asking questions to me. Where is my fear? Because I know what God can do. And God is going to be much harder with me than any of you because I'm supposed to know. Paul says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But let me tell you this. Right now, we have an opportunity, all of us, to repent. To give our hearts truly to God and stop. I don't want to say faking. I'm not judging anybody. I'll speak for myself. Stop resisting God then. Stop telling him I can't do it or I don't want to do it. Because that's not what God wants. The Bible says he will judge his people. If you will let him judge you, if you will let him correct you, if we will humble ourselves and repent, then just like David, he'll forgive us. He is a merciful, he is a gracious God, but there is a timeline, there is a place, there is a time that is allowed. Jesus stopped when he finished Isaiah 61, and he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What he was saying is, I'm stopping right here, I'm not going to read the next verse. Right now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Right now it's time to repent. Right now it's to say, God, forgive me. Because I haven't given you my best. I show up. But I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. It's just as bad a sin when we omit to do what God tells us to do as to when we do something we're not supposed to do. So I had no choice but to preach this. Because God doesn't want to remove this church's candle. But I want this church's candle to be a beacon of light to this community, this neighborhood, where we are on one accord, where we truly love God with our heart, where we bring him our best offering, not a Cain offering, not a whatever's left over offering, but a broken and a contrite heart. God says he will never reject. I'm closing, but I leave you with this thought. Where is our fear? I've seen God take people out. I have. When I know it was God did it. It's only his mercy and his grace he hasn't taken me out. because I burn the candle at both ends and in the middle. And I know it's only his mercy that has kept me alive, because I know I should be dead. I want to get a godly fear and a reverence for the King of Kings. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me, if you could all pray, and if you could pray honestly and say, God, give me a godly fear. God, forgive me of my sins, all of us. Because if you say you have no sin, the Bible says you are a liar and the truth is not within you. Father, Lord, we ask you today for your mercy right now to look down on Rehoboth, Lord. Everyone that's under the sound of my voice, for me, oh God, that you will give us grace. Lord, that our heart will be turned to you, that we will stop giving you secondhand offerings of our time, of our prayer life, of ourselves, oh God, that we will bring you the best. Oh God, we ask you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace to be extended one more time to us, Lord. Lord, you have given us warnings. Lord, I pray, help us to heed the warning. Lord, I pray you don't take anyone out, but that everyone that is here today, Lord God, that the circle will not be broken. That when you shout, when that trumpet shouts, that this church will be empty. There won't be one left here to look. Oh God, we ask you for your mercy and your grace right now to be poured out. Jesus, I thank you right now for your goodness. Lord, let your grace, oh God. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, I rest upon your promise. Lord, you said, let them call for the elders of the church if they have committed any sin. Lord, I ask you right now, I stretch my hand forth on this congregation, Lord, to forgive our sins. Lord, we repent, Lord God. We humble ourselves before you. We don't resist you, Lord God, because we have no argument, Lord God. Lord, we ask right now for your blood to cover us, for your word to wash us, to take us, to keep us. We thank you, hallelujah, and we give you the praise and the glory. If you could just pray, cry aloud with your voice, reach out to heaven, ask God for his mercy and his grace, because he is a loving God. He is a merciful God. I tell you, if you will seek him with your whole heart, if you will truly seek him with your whole heart, he will be found. He will be found. He will meet your need. He will change your life. He will direct your course. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil take this word from you. Meditate upon this week, because I really believe that's what the Lord wanted us to hear today. But he's a merciful God. Those of you who I could not pray for, who I could not lay my hands on, God has washed you with the word. That's what the Bible says. Let's leave here today in faith, believing that we're going to draw near to him, that we're going to bring him an offering that is fit for a king, and that's our broken and contrite heart. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for being in Rehoboth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your covering. Most of all, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we bring you nothing, O God, except ourselves. Lord, we have nothing to defend ourselves. Lord, we are guilty. But Lord, your mercy, hallelujah, can cover us. Lord, we ask right now for your grace. Walk with us this week. Surround us this week. Lift us up this week. Help us to seek your face this week. Help us to bring you the best gifts. Lord, we thank you for anointing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are going to bring revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe you're going to bring signs and wonders. I believe you're going to give us a victory. I believe you're going to give us a breakthrough. As we humble ourselves and seek your face, as we repent and cry aloud, Lord, I thank you right now for victory. Hallelujah. And we lift up your name. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. All glory and honor. Hata yashata. Haladere solobosata lebieshalabasa. Yatalabosan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give God a praise offering before we go. Let's give God a praise offering. If you will believe and have faith, whatever you have prayed for will come to pass. It will come to pass. What you have to do is not give up. Be consistent. Be consistent. Hallelujah. God bless you. Again, we thank you for all the visitors today. We have Tuesday night Bible study, and we're going to be having prayer this Thursday, corporate prayer. Come and bring him your best gift. Bring him your best gift. I'm telling you, we're living in perilous times. And if you think it won't get to the stage where you may have to decide whether you go to prison to come to church, you think it can't happen in America? I think it will happen in America. Your faith will be tested. You think you have troubles now? It's best to come while you can come and no one is stopping you. There may come a time when if you come to church, they may arrest you. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach again, but I just want to tell you, it's time to give God your best. Where is the fear? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Don't be discouraged. Be uplifted, because the Bible tells us if he chastens us, it's because he loves us. God bless you. Greet one another. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength.